As historian Frances Licton noted in her book, Rural Folk Art of Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Dutch immigrants landing at the port of Philadelphia found the colony rich in resources, which enabled many of the new arrivals to make a living from the clay-lined earth, thus becoming among the nation's best skilled potters. Redware pottery, molded or thrown on the potter's wheel, using attractive New Jersey white clay slip decoration, soon developed into a remarkable craft among the pottery artisans of the seven Pennsylvania Dutch counties that surrounded the port city of Philadelphia. As more and more Germanic and Swiss immigrants arrived and dispersed into areas away from Philadelphia, their exposure to the excellence of Pennsylvania Dutch colonial pottery inspired these later immigrant craftspeople to enhance the art of Pennsylvania pottery to an even higher level. The earthenware produced by these early American pottery kilns were ultimately beyond utilitarian value and were of such aesthetic quality and design as they were given as special presents to enhance even the wealthiest of farm households. Judging from the surviving number of presentational pieces, artistic plates and platters not intended for household use, the heyday for the Pennsylvania Dutch pottery occurred between 1780 to 1830, as the agrarian republic prospered after the American Revolution. Several of these highly decorated large scrivito plates not only enriched the household fireplace mantles designed with folk art, tulips, and birds, but they had domestic Germanic proverbs written along the outer edge as well. Whimsical sayings like, "When the dish breaks, thou shouldst not scold," provide insights into the artisans. Scrafito is an Italian word for scratch carved, and in this process, the white slip coating is scratched away when it hardens from the surface of the plate and shows the motif or motifs in the silhouette of the red clay fired beneath it. Among the early exceptional American artisans of scrafito design were George Hoepner and Samuel Troxell from Montgomery County, who operated their pottery in the post-Revolutionary War period. Both potters were masters of plate designs, especially Hoepner using his proficiency in old German lettering of inscriptions to decorate the apron of the plate. Many of these redware presentation pieces are preserved in two distinctive collections representing American folk art, the Philadelphia Museum of Art and the Henry Francis DuPont Winterthur Museum in Delaware. That from the Reading Eagle, articles in 2018 and 2021. Celinda Kennedy knows this tradition well. Celinda is well known regionally and farther afield for her unique line of redware pottery that creatively blends traditional technique with contemporary styles. Thanks to an arts grant through the Margaret Waldron Foundation, she spent 3 years studying an ancient Roman art, ancient art of tile making, with an instructor from the Henry Mercer Tile Factory in Doylestown. In 1986, she opened her own studio, Kennedy Redware, in Muncie, Pennsylvania. Celinda specializes in pottery inspired by historic folk art found in museums, private collections, and auctions. Many Pennsylvania schoolmasters, including teacher and artist Johann Heinrich Otto, moonlighted as community scriveners, penning such important family documents as birth, baptismal, and marriage certificates and rewards of merit. These documents were often very colorful and bold. Adding her own twist to historic inspiration, Kennedy combines designs like Otto's with slab technique terracotta clay, typically recognized as redware. "I love that my designs are recognized as such by historians and art collectors who are familiar with these early examples of creative, famous folk art from the past," says Kennedy. "My work continues to grow as I research and discover new inspirations and ideas. I hold firm in this concept to be consistent so that when someone sees my work, it is recognized as mine." We had a chance to speak by phone with Celinda Kennedy, and we began by talking about her particular way of working.
I always had had an interest in antiques. My family ancestry evolves around that. My grandmother was a keeper of everything, and so I was surrounded by that type of art most of my life. So when the opportunity came to participate in the Artisan Residence program, I knew exactly what I wanted to make and do. But I did learn a process that I didn't know before, and I was introduced to clay, and it seemed to be my niche. I knew that it was going to be something that was going to follow me and evolve for a long time, and it did. And so when it came time for me to open my own studio, I knew that I wanted to use redware as my canvas, and then apply historic folk art pattern to those canvases. It was something that it just happened for me one day. A light bulb went off, and I said, I want to combine these two arts. I don't think anyone's doing this. I have an interest in both the clay and the folk art that I was using. So that's what made that happen for me. And so I've been very fortunate since then to be able to work as a potter full-time since 1986. And I have my own two-story building in the back of my property where I work. I did start out by attending reenactment events, 18th century reenactment events. And so I did that for some time. And then I started doing some contemporary shows because my work sits in both venues, antiques and contemporary. So it seemed to take off, and I've been very fortunate to be able to be doing what I'm doing.
Let me ask you about the medium itself. There's stoneware, there's porcelain, but redware is another type of clay. Tell us something, if you would, about the history of it and why it's your choice.
Redware is very well known in Pennsylvania because the Pennsylvania Germans used this clay in a utilitarian way. It's a very low fire clay, so it did break easily. But this was used like, I don't know, maybe like we would use our paper plates today. And so there were traveling potters that went through towns and they sold their wares to replace what was broken or to supply new households with dishes. And so the interest in redware is big here in Pennsylvania. You know, your original pieces are extremely expensive, and private collectors have them, or you might see them in museums.
Are you able to do what you do in redware and maybe not so much in stoneware? The results wouldn't be the same?
Yes, I think you can say that. I've never worked in any other type of clay. I just had the interest in the terracotta clay simply because I was introduced to it by the instructor from the Mercer Tile Museum, and I just stuck with that. It was something that I knew, and I didn't feel like I wanted to experiment. I just felt very comfortable with it.
Sometimes when people talk about potters or ceramic artists, they might think about wheel throwing and so forth, but you work with slabs. Tell us about that choice and what the difference might be.
Slab technique pottery is clay that's rolled out on a slab roller in a slab, and then I transfer it to my workbench. I use a rolling pin to roll it out a little bit thinner, and then I lay it inside what I call forms and then cut the edges away and start decorating that way. Wheel work, of course, is done on a potter's wheel, and those forms are always cylindrical. This way, when I use my forms, I can make different sizes, shapes, squares, rectangles, whatever I want. I tried wheel work for a little while in the beginning, and it just did not click for me. I have admiration for people that can work on the wheel. It's not something that I learned to do.
When we were beginning our conversation, you used the word my canvas. So you look at that slab in the form as a canvas to be decorated like a painting.
That's correct.
And you use a wide range of imagery. So often as we see when we go online, you mentioned the folk art imagery. How do you apply it?
I start out with the slab, and then I apply a background color of a liquid slip, which I color with mason stain. that gives it a very creamy kind of color. And I use China bristle brushes, which I apply the background slip with. It takes several coats, so I'm working on several pieces at one time. I'll walk around the workbench, apply my background, and I need at least 8 coats of that liquid slip so that when it's fired, it stays solid so that you can't see through it. It's not burned off. And then after I get my background color on and the clay becomes a leather hard, I use, I'm going to call it a plastic pattern. So what I'm doing is I have a pattern that's drawn with a indelible marker, and I lay that inside the form, and then I can trace with a pencil the design and then peel the plastic away, and you see an image underneath that, which I then decorate with underglazes and slips and brushes and sponges. After that piece is dry, then it's fired the first time. It's called a bisque firing, and it's fired for about 6 hours. It takes about a day, maybe day and a half to cool. I can open the kiln, and then I apply a clear glaze, and it's refired at the same temperature for another 6 hours.
And still basically low-fired.
Yeah, it's very low-fired. It's like 1,900 and some degrees. That's a low-firing.
Do you work in series? Do you create individual pieces?
Well, I have worked specifically with museums to do limited editions of things. But other than that, I'm making pieces individually, even though I have several pieces rolled out at a time. Each piece is decorated individually.
And where do you go to stimulate your imagination to fill those?
Well, I used to visit museums and buy very expensive books. I have an extensive library, but now we have Pinterest. It's very easy.
What catches your eye? Do you love the birds? Do you love the flowers? Do you love the abstract folk-type designs?
Well, I will say that my customers are more drawn towards my animals, birds, flowers, scenery, etc. I personally like the people images that I do, but for some reason, they're just not as notable, I guess, as the other pieces that I do.
I saw that you received a commission from, is it the Horners? And you made a commemorative platter for them. That was quite something.
Yes, I use engravings from powder horns that are used in the muzzle loading field.
You had script on that or words on that.
Yes, that was a commemorative piece to be given as a prize, I believe. And I've done quite a few of those in the past. I did one or several, actually, for the Kentucky Rifle Association, the Horners Guild, and a couple of others. I always do those sideline things for organizations that are looking for something with their logo so that they can present it to someone that's getting a promotion, or it can be a variety of things.
And in the article that I read about that particular platter, Celinda, it quoted you quoting St. Francis. Could you tell us about that quote of St. Francis?
St. Francis of Assisi. Yes, he who works with his hands. Yeah, he who works with his hands and his head is an artist, or hand in his heart is an artist. Yeah, I look up sayings that I like. Sayings possibly from past presidents. Yeah, just different sayings I like to apply to the pottery.
What about size? Small to how large do you go?
Well, I make tiny little pieces that I sell at shows. I call it my gas money. And yeah, they go pretty quickly. People like to buy those for gifts, because they're, you know, a gift-priced item. But my platters can go as large as 19 to 22 inches. Those are big presentation pieces. That's about as big as I can fit in my kiln.
You're in a gallery right now in Lewisburg.
Oh, the gallery is a wonderful place people should visit. It's called Artists and Artisans. It's at 229 Market Street. This is a co-op of 14 artists, and I am one of them. And we have quite a variety of artists there. We have photographers, we have clay, we have metal, we have wood. And it's just a wonderful assortment of people to buy from. Their art is wonderful. And We've had such great success since we opened a couple years ago. People are coming in now and they're purchasing art from us for gifts and for their own homes. So it's been a really great opportunity.
Those of you who live and work in and around Muncie, you have quite an artistic community there, don't you?
We really do. It's so nice. And we all, you know, converse and help each other out. So it's been nice.
Do you have a website?
I use Facebook, although it's really not up to date. I'm not technically inclined, so I have examples on Facebook of my past work, some commission work. I don't really have a catalog of things for sale there, but it is a place to go to be able to get a good look at what I've done in the past. And that would just be KennedyRedware@facebook.com.
When you say your past work, and that's what we might see, are you exploring new directions or new types of ways of working right now?
Well, I usually always stick with my platters that I have for sale that I take to shows. But in the past, I've done some one-offs, and what I like to do is find toolboxes or tramp art, and I decorate them with tiles. And these are like custom pieces that either customers own or I have in my own personal collection, or my kids have, and I borrowed back to show.
Celinda Kennedy is a ceramic artist who is well known regionally and farther afield for her unique line of redware pottery that blends traditional techniques with contemporary styles. And she has her own studio, Kennedy Redware, in Muncie, Pennsylvania. And as we heard, we can find more about her and her work at KennedyRedware/Facebook.com. KennedyRedware/Facebook.com. Celinda Kennedy is featured in a show right now titled A Painter and a Potter, Simone Roy and Celinda Kennedy. That show will run through Saturday, February 28th at the Artists and Artisans, a cooperative gallery, 229 Market Street in Lewisburg. Simone Roy is a plein air painter who lives and works in central Pennsylvania. She paints landscapes and still life, mostly in oils, but she shows her watercolors and acrylics from time to time. I paint to capture beautiful and fleeting moments in time, places or objects that stop me in amazement. As a plein air painter, I am keenly aware of the passage of time and the impermanence of a scene. My focus is on the quality of the light, influenced by season, weather, and time of day. Capturing each scene, knowing this moment will never come again in quite the same way, inspires and challenges me. I would like my art to inspire us to consider the fragility of the natural world, then to work to preserve and protect it. Words of painter Simone Roy, whose work can be seen on her website, SimoneRoy.com, SimoneRoy, SimoneRoy.com. And that's an exhibition titled A Painter and a Potter, Simone Roy and Celinda Kennedy, that will run through Saturday, February 28th at the Artists and Artisans, a cooperative gallery, 229 Market Street in Lewisburg.